Hello, everybody. Thank you for coming back with us. Eric Mann here with my co-host, Damon Azali. We're on KPFK 90.7 FM, 98.7 in Santa Barbara. We're on the phone with Kali Akuno, who's a longtime movement activist and organizer. He's both with the Malcolm X Grassroots Organization in the Bay Area and nationally. He's also with the People's Hurricane Relief Fund and Oversight Committee out of New Orleans, and he's been shuttling back and forth between there and Azania and other places to try to build movement, build support for the movement in New Orleans. Kali, how you doing?
Doing good. Doing good.
Good to hear you. Let's move to, let's sort of fast forward. Within 4 days after Katrina, or three or two, I think everybody understood where the future scenario was. That is to say, those of us on the left, the progressive movement, said that Katrina is going to be used by the right to whitewash, to make, as they say, New Orleans with a smaller footprint, turn it into a theme park, not allow black people to come back. And the Republicans were already aware that if we get rid of 100,000 or 200,000 black people from New Orleans and hopefully out of Louisiana, that could be the beginning of at least another senator, two congresspeople, maybe the future mayor, and that New Orleans and that Louisiana will never vote Democratic again in a national election. That's what we all understood 3 or 4 days afterwards. But a year later, or 10 and a half months later, what's scary is how close that prediction has come and how really just almost unbearable the actual story is. It's one thing to hypothesize it. What I was hoping you could do is, well, there's a lot to talk about New Orleans. Take us into right now the lower Ninth Ward as if you were walking down the street with me and Damon, pointing out left and right. What does it look like? Help our audience understand through your eyes what they would see.
Well, when you come off of St. Clairvoyant into the lower Ninth during that walk, and you come over the little bridge, to your left, coming from kind of central, the downtown area of New Orleans, to your left you're going to see the levee, the Industrial Canal levee that broke. You're going to see some patchwork construction being done in a very limited fashion by the Army Corps of engineers. You're going to see a clear zone where over the past 4 months the Army Corps of Engineers has been basically cleaning up the debris from all the houses that were totally and utterly destroyed in that area, and basically looks just like, matchsticks. You're going to see that area, and that goes on for probably about a good square mile radius. Then out of past that area, keep going on your left-hand side, you're just going to see thousands and thousands of just vacant homes and thousands of homes with no running water and no electricity. To your right, on that same avenue, you're going to see homes that were flooded, many flooded to 15 to 16 feet, many that have been tilted off of their foundations, or the foundations have been cracked, or the house has been cracked. To your right, just the conditions are a little bit better. It was just a major flood. And in one area to the back, you're going to see, to the far right, you're going to see a small community built around a old church congregation and school where there is a little bit of electricity, but it's sporadic at this particular point in time. So it may be on, it may be off. There's several days in the past couple of days that folks have been trying to generate more electricity, that the system has become unstable pretty much throughout New Orleans. But what you're going to see in that same area are thousands and thousands of vacant houses. Many of them, you're going to see tons of volunteers who are in working with organizations like Common Ground or a number of different church organizations that are doing house gutting on a consistent basis. Many of the volunteers are white, and they're folks from all throughout the country and throughout the world who come in to lend some little support and some solidarity on that effort. But you're also going to see a new feature, something that has started cropping up about 3 months ago, but which has really intensified. You're going to see signs all over the neighborhood, number one, for services for labor. But you're going to see a new sign, probably the most critical, most dangerous sign. We pay cash for houses.
Hmm.
And you see those signs cropped up everywhere, right? There's probably more of those signs nowadays than there are signs of, you know, bring New Orleans back or we're coming home, which are more movement signs. But you'll probably see more of those signs than you've ever seen before in New Orleans. Now, anybody, I think, who's kind of familiar with any major urban area where particularly where black people have been occupying for some time, you'll kind of see those in areas that are being heavily gentrified, where that level of just kind of a land grab and clear out, ethnic cleansing is basically what's going on in the Ninth Ward now on the accelerated level.
Well, you know, I was just with Leslie Fields today, who works with NRDC, and she's been doing a lot of work down in New Orleans on toxic cleanup, and she was saying that one of the things that's scary to her is that the black community has always been held together through kinship relationships, and that through the extended family, despite the effort to break the black family, that if one person had a house, the whole family had a house, you know. So if, in fact, people who are being pushed to give up hope are signing away their leases because, you know, cash for your house
mm-hmm.
ends the end of any ownership rights in New Orleans,
right.
ends the end of any right to return, right, that, as you said, this is just very, very scary new development. The question is, can one organize against that if people are in such a state of desperation, and how successful are the ethnic cleansers in their efforts right now?
Well, if we judge, if you were there, well, I'll put it this way, if you were there on Tuesday, it would look pretty bad, let's put it that way. But if you were there on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you'll see glimmer of hope as folks are coming in from out of town to try and get on their houses, to work on their houses, to kind of repair their lives and see where things are at, you know, trying to put things back in order. Now, how real it's going to be really depends on how much pressure we are able, the progressive force in this country are able to put on the federal government to basically at this point concede some concessions around first the relief and then the reconstruction. I mean, it's because it's not, I think there's a lot of focus around New Orleans as if it was just a local issue, but it's really a national issue. It's national to the extent that, you know, there's still over 250,000 displaced people, survivors from Hurricane Katrina and Rita, that are spread throughout. It was 44 states throughout this country. I believe it's less than that now. But still, you have people scattered, you know, primarily the mass majority of them are in Texas, in Georgia, Mississippi, and in Arkansas. But there's still, you know, tons of folks in Los Angeles. There's still tons of folks in Oakland, so throughout California, throughout Arizona, Colorado, Washington, you know, state. Then you go back to the southern states. So you still have people who are scattered out. And one of the things that's happening on a national level that folks definitely need to be aware of is that FEMA is cutting off all of its different voucher programs. So the voucher for housing, the vouchers for electricity and other services, those are being cut off. And thousands of people, again, facing eviction. And where they're not immediately facing eviction because they're being put out maybe in 2 or 3 months' time as opposed to the end of June or throughout July, there's thousands of people who are without electricity in cities all throughout the country because FEMA's cut off that little bit of relief aid as well. So, you know, it's a major situation that's going on throughout the country that people have to kind of look at it in the national and international context. I think it's very important.
Eric Mann, I'm on the phone with Kali Okunu. And, you know, I just finished the book, which, you know, it's called Letter in Support of a Black Reconstruction in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast. It's available from Frontlines Press, www.frontlinespress.com. And in the writing of the book, Kali and Xochitl Bovada were probably the two people that I spoke to often and often and often to say, am I getting the story right? And I want to thank you for all your help with the book, really, and helping me frame the reality. Now, this August, Damon and I are going to be coming down to New Orleans along with a lot of other people for the first anniversary of Katrina. And, Kaliana, you're trying very hard to figure out what are the tactical plans
mm-hmm.
that, what does it mean to put pressure on the system? Perhaps you can now take us on another tour, which is the tour of the movement. What are the different, you know, there's not just one center of the movement, but what are some of the demands? What would it look like if you were asking people to come to New Orleans in August? What would they do if they're going to stay home? What can they do? Let's get to what are some of the demands being posed and what are some of the tactics that the movement's trying to figure out right now?
Well, the two fundamental demands remain the same. They've been the same basically since, you know, August 30th. Number one, the right to return.
Right.
And number two, a just reconstruction, you know, determined by the people of New Orleans, primarily the working class and poor people of New Orleans, determining what the reconstruction looks like and not what Bechtel or, you know, Dick Cheney and all the cronies want it to look like. So those are the two fundamental demands. Those demands haven't changed. They're going to be there for some time because it's definitely, you know, what we're looking at in New Orleans is definitely a protracted struggle. So we need people to be in this movement and in the support and in solidarity for the long haul. But there's a couple of particular strategic campaigns that we are launching to try and set some of this in motion. The most, I would say, the fundamental campaign is the campaign against the levees. New Orleans can't exist unless there's an adequate, state-of-the-art levee system. Its long-term future is basically, you know, it's depending on how well the levees are rebuilt and how well the water is managed within that system, because virtually 90% of the city rests below sea level. And, you know, with global warming, there are more catastrophic storms on the way. That's pretty much a guarantee. So we need to be prepared for that. And what we're asking folks to do on a national level is, number one, to have your organization, you know, your union, your church group, whatever political organization you may belong to, a fraternal organization you may belong to endorse this campaign. Then with endorsement, we're asking you to take this up on a local, a state, and a federal level to different representatives to get them to sign on to say that this levy has to be fixed and it has to be fixed now. So, you know, we're trying to pressure the federal government with that, starting with local level, so you can go to your city council, you know, and ask them to pass a resolution saying that, the levees have to be fixed. There's one particular tactic that folks can do right in Los Angeles, wherever they may be, in Los Angeles County or the outlying cities and counties. You can do that wherever you are, take that particular struggle up. Another thing that folks need, there's still a lot of resources that are needed. And I mean two different types of resources. There's capital resources and human resources. And there's still a great need for volunteers to go out, particularly long-term volunteers to kind of help out with some of the capacity issues that exist in New Orleans. You got to remember, like I said, virtually half the city at any given time is still not there. And the level of work that's needed is tremendous. The other way that people can support is by supporting some of your resources. If you can make a $10 donation, a $5 donation. You know, and there's a number of different organizations kind of giving that layout that folks can donate to. There's the People's Hurricane Relief Fund and Oversight Coalition, which I'm a representative of, which is one of the organizations. But people can also support organizations as individual projects or that are member groups that are part of that coalition, you know, such as Critical Resistance or Safe Streets, Strong Communities, or the Economic Justice Coalition that's in New Orleans. There's also groups like Common Ground Collective, which are doing a lot of kind of relief work, particularly with house gutting and health and community clinics. You know, so folks can support all those different initiatives.
Well, you're being very ecumenical, but, you know, I'm sure it was shocking to see the tremendous outpouring of support followed by the diminishment of the support today. So tell us about, just we're going to tie up, Kali. If people wanted to send a contribution to the People's Hurricane Relief Fund, to start as one, you've mentioned many others, how would they do so?
You would make that out to the People's Hurricane Relief Fund. You would make your contribution out to the People's Hurricane Relief Fund, and you would send it to Vanguard Public Foundation in San Francisco. And I can just give you that address where folks can send that to directly. You're making me pull up something real quick.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get you some money, brother.
No, I hear you. The easiest way to do that, and I'm on a slow internet where this thing is at.
Don't worry about it. Vanguard Public Foundation in San Francisco. Go on your internet. Get their address. You send the check. You make it out to People's Hurricane Relief Fund and explain it to them that it's in, you know, it's in on behalf of them, and they'll get it to them. Kali, I'm going to stay in touch with you. We're going to take a short break, and Damon and I will be seeing you in Battling the Winds in August, okay?
All right.
Thanks so much for your work.